If you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible today and demonstrates the love of the family of God, we do invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido URC. Our worship service times on Sundays are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
It is absolutely fascinating. Maybe that's not the best word, but it's something to look at everything that has happened and how the world scene has changed, even in the course of 1 year. A lot has happened, hasn't it? I've been extremely moved, and I think about how much, at least, we see of things like governments toppling, revolutions, economic disaster, financial cliff talk, all these sort of things, bombs going off in the open squares, earthquakes in various places. It's an intense time on the world scene, isn't it? Challenging time on the world scene. Everyone seems to be gripped by fear right now. That is the one thing that I've noticed over and over, is people are really intensely gripped by fear. There is millennial madness all around us, it seems, on top of all of this. It wasn't so long ago that Harold Camping had made his prediction, and you remember all of the news and all of the crazies of things that happened with people after that. This last Friday was supposed to be the end of the world according to the Mayan calendar, and it didn't happen again. What does all of this mean? It's just accumulation of so many things happening, so many events, so many dangerous things. If you're stirred up by any of this, you're getting a little sense and a little taste of what the disciples were facing in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples were overwhelmed with fear. The disciples were overwhelmed with panic. And the Lord is answering this fear this morning. The Lord is giving them perspective. He's giving them a way forward. He's helping them think through everything they're seeing, because their perspective is all wrong. And they have forgotten. They have forgotten how powerful the Lord is, what His supreme sovereignty and control really means in light of these events, and that all of this chaos that we're seeing happen and take place does not mean that the Lord has let this world spin into chaos and out of control. So this is Matthew 24 this morning. And Jesus assures His disciples here that He is the author of the future, that we are not to live in fear, but that we are to be ready, because all of these things that are happening around the world and in our country and all around us are indicating to us the coming is soon. The second coming. It is near. At the door. That's what our Lord wants us to think about. That's what our Lord wants us to consider this morning. So I thought it'd be immensely helpful today to look at how our Lord instructed His people in the past through these things, what He did specifically to deal with these problems, to move His people forward, and to teach them that they are not alone, that God's people have always faced these things as He prepares us and wants us to be ready. So the purpose here is twofold in Matthew 24. The purpose here is to comfort the sheep who are scared. And that's really big and important to say up front this morning. The purpose is to comfort scared sheep. But there's another purpose. The second purpose is to stir up those who are sleeping, to wake up and look carefully at what's happening. All these things are telling us something. All these things are telling us something. So let's look at Matthew 24 this morning with this in mind. In verse 1, we read that Jesus was walking away from the temple. He was in the outside courts. And if you remember chapter 23, He had just cried out in a moment, in a real scene of Jerusalem's unbelief. He cried out in lament over their unbelief. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. In the middle of that cry, he pronounced seven woes in chapter 23 on the scribes and the Pharisees, the rulers of Israel. And then in verse 38 of that chapter, he said something that threw the disciples. One thing here that really threw them. He said, see, verse 38, your house is left to you desolate. He just said, what? Your house is left to you desolate. And I say, you shall not see me anymore till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a powerful moment. I almost think you have to feel it. I almost think, just feel this just for a minute. From the perspective of the disciples. The disciples can't believe what they've just heard. And so in verse 1 of chapter 4, we read that they came to show him the buildings of the temple. Did you catch that? Lord, are you speaking of that temple? Look at it again. You can't mean the Jerusalem temple. Did you mean to say that that glorious temple is going to be left desolate? The temple was everything to Israel. I mean, you know the history and the scriptures of the temple, its glory, and who built the temple. And the thing had fallen down a couple times. But here, this temple was pristine. It was beautiful. For Israel to not have the temple, how do you even process that? How do you begin to process that? And so Jesus replied to their concern in verse 2. And he said, you see all these things, do you not? In other words, take another look at them. I want you to study this with your eyes for a minute. Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus just said Jerusalem and its temple is done. I'm done with it. We're throwing it down. We then read Jesus goes out and he sits on the Mount of Olives. This overlooked the beautiful Kidron Valley. And if you could have a scene and you knew what this looked like, it's you're looking over all the accomplishments of mighty Jerusalem and all of its beauty and all of its great glory. This is the city of the great king. This is everything, all the history of Israel. The pride of the Jews was Jerusalem. And there was Mount Zion. The temple and all of its extravagance. And better, they thought, than what Solomon had crafted and built. And we can imagine the astonishment that goes on here. The stones, they say, at least as Josephus records, were some 35 feet. White, beautiful stones. The temple dominated the landscape when you looked. It would have been the thing that every eye gazed upon sitting up on the Mount of Olives. In fact, the rabbis would say, he who has not seen the temple of Herod has never seen a beautiful building. Never seen one. What Jesus just said in Matthew chapter 24 was absolutely devastating. If you were to go on a mountain, hypothetically, and look over New York, and you were to sit up high in 2001, and you were to look down, and off in the distance, you would have seen two massive towers, wouldn't you? And who would have ever dreamed, right? In power, the symbol of Wall Street and America's power, if somebody had come along and said, see those? Next week, they're coming down. What would you have said? If you really believed him, you would have fallen right into panic. What do you mean those are coming down? I can't even fathom the thought of that, that the World Trade Center is going to be toppled over. We can only imagine what Americans would have felt seeing all of that and hearing all of that. And when it did happen, think of how much devastation there was in this country. Snapped our pride, didn't it? Oh, it snapped it. Everything that symbolizes U.S. power, imagine. If it was said, all of it, White House, trade centers, the monument, Everything you want to say that symbolizes the power of the U.S. is going to be knocked over. That would be absolutely distressing to us. The disciples come to Jesus with this thought on their minds, and they have a couple questions. Lord, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? If somebody had said that about the United States, we'd say it's got to be the end of the world, right? That's what we think. That's how much pride we have. The United States falls, so does everything else. And that's how they looked at it. If this temple gets knocked over, it's got to be the end. When are you coming? Now, Jesus is going to answer these questions. They're two different questions, and there's going to be a whole period in between these two events happening. But here it is clear, when Jesus said, not one stone will be left here upon another, he was talking about the destruction of the temple, and then the second question has to do with his second coming in glory. We want to know. We want to understand this. You want to understand this? I want to understand this. What do you hear in these questions? Fear. It is complete fear that has overcome them. Got to be the end if Jerusalem falls. What does it mean for us, and what do we do? And I'm sure many of us are thinking that way heading into 2013. This is kind of a good old year's, New Year's perspective. Well, what happens if this whole economy crumbles? What happens on this financial, whatever they're talking about, fiscal cliff? And what happens when we pass? And what happens if this bubble bursts and this country falls as we know it? What does that mean for us and our children? No one knows. No one can answer that. Notice that? No one can answer the what if and what is possibly coming. And it could get really interesting. And again, that's probably not the best word. Christ begins to answer this. And he begins to answer each of their questions, applying what would happen in AD 70. I believe foreshadowing what would come at the end, linking it together to make some very grand observations and conclusions for them to go forward. So he responds in verses 4 through 14 with a list of signs of his coming. Now you'll notice down in verse 30, there's one single sign of his coming. There are signs, and then there is the sign. And the sign is that coming on the clouds of heaven with all of his glory. That's the sign. But there are signs that he is going to come. And so Jesus answers these, beginning in verse 4. And he says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. First thing Jesus here addresses is there's going to be a great deception. There's going to be a great deception, and many are going to come in his name, and they are going to claim they are Christ, and they are going to lead astray many. And the thing that we really want to emphasize here in light of that is that there will be, because the scriptures constantly set this before us, that there will be a great turning away of the truth, from the truth. This is a painful phenomenon that the scriptures describe all over the place. I often think of the one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which says that the very characteristic of the great apostasy that is coming upon the world is that people will so refuse a love for the truth, so to be saved, that the consequence of that is that today they're not receiving the truth, tomorrow they're going to be deluded and believe the lie. Jesus spoke about this in his earthly ministry a lot, and I've always thought too that you can look at the state of things with the Jews before Christ came and then during the time of his earthly ministry, and you could see many parallels to what is to come. But Jesus was constantly speaking about his witness. You'll know in John's Gospel that the theme of witness was a very big subject for him, and Jesus would say many things about witness. He would go around to the Jews saying, I have bore witness to the truth. I have spoken the truth. I've given miracles to support it. And Jesus was making very clear that when people turned from the truth and did not receive His witness and did not receive His truth, it wasn't an intellectual problem. It wasn't that people said, wow, I just have to consider and weigh this Jesus' claims with everyone else's claims. That's not what it was. Jesus made very clear these were moral issues often. And He would say things like, look at My works. My works have evidenced My witness. Look at all these people I've changed. Look at what's happened. Look at the people like Nicodemus and the woman at the well and the man on the Sabbath who was healed. And look at their joy and look at their following. Millions of people have attached themselves to this man throughout history, from Genesis 3 forward. The evidence is all around us, isn't it? The evidence of His resurrection power, of His grace in people's lives, and the evidence of His Word that is like a hammer, and many people don't receive it. They don't take it seriously. And Jesus gave a sweeping indictment. Remember that indictment? I have come in My Father's name, and you do not receive Me. If another comes in His own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? You'll receive antichrists before Me, said Jesus. Jesus is warning in Matthew chapter 24 that one of the real signs that He is coming soon is that you're going to see a whole bunch of people take advantage of this kind of unbelief. They're going to take advantage of this kind of unbelief. And they're going to make claims that are radical. They're going to make claims that lure in people after them. And they will follow them. And there will be multitudes of false teachers. Because the truth is not received today, the consequence tomorrow is these kind of false teachers will pull in a great number. I'm amazed at what people will believe today, aren't you? I guess I shouldn't get surprised at it anymore, but look at what people will believe. Look at what people will follow. Look at who they will follow. Wild end times views, predictions, all of that, you're going to see. Some who will blatantly claim they are Christ. And these kind of things that happen precipitate the kind of fear here that the disciples are dealing with. What does fear do? Fear takes our eyes off of Christ. Fear takes our eyes off of Him and His sovereign power and what He is doing. And Jesus here is giving us a whole series of these sort of things to think about. In verse 6, He says, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Jesus says, one of the signs of His coming is you're going to see the intensity of nations going into upheaval. You're going to see increased revolutions, if you will. Politically and economically, the nations of this world, you're going to see a great intensity of instability in the governments of this world. And lawlessness is going to abound. And it's going to be a sign to us, Jesus says, that it's close, that it's at the door. I find it interesting that He uses and chose the word rumors, don't you? Rumors is an interesting word. It's the whole sense of what you hear as a report, and you could fairly translate it. You're going to hear news reports. There's going to be so many news reports going on of massive unrest among the peoples, and what happens when that occurs? We become absorbed in it. We become fixated on it. The whole absorption is driven by fear, and we become disillusioned, don't we? We're into issues and thoughts and questions we shouldn't be in, and we've just lived that last week. We're acting like this chaos is completely outside of the control of our sovereign God, and we don't know how to process it. And Jesus is saying, if I may, remember Psalm 2? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? Why are the nations full of so much turbulence? They are restless. They are restless, shaking their fist at me. And he who is in heaven shall do what? Laugh. Who's in control of all of this? Jesus goes on. You can expect the ground to shake under people's feet. You can expect that it's going to do a lot of damage. You can expect famines. There will be times when the earth will not yield its increase and supply enough food. Jesus says in verse 8, all these things are the beginning of birth pains. Interesting he chose that, isn't it? Most men here have today, I know years ago they didn't let the men in the delivery room, did they? I don't think so. But I got to watch my children be born. You know. And my wife was pretty bold until that first birth pain hit. Wham! And then she wasn't so friendly to me. And then those kept coming. Wham! And they intensified. Wham! Wham! And they kept coming and kept coming and kept coming until the baby was born, and then joy. And that's something we can grab onto and say, you know, things are intensifying. Things will intensify. It's the reason he used this. These are like birth pains to the final judgment. Everything you're seeing right now happening on the scene of history, they are like birth pains to the final judgment. You're seeing the nations rage. You're seeing forces in creation, right? Well, that's what the world describes it as. Mother Nature. They can't stop it. They want to stop it and they can't. Jesus is saying, I want you, dear Christians, to look at this a little bit differently. And I want you to remember that all these things that are happening, all these things that are happening are a reminder that the end is coming soon. But as bad as they are, they're just contractions. They're just contractions. Now, why is he doing this? Are you a little disturbed? Maybe a little fearful? Why is Jesus doing this? Is he doing it to cause fear? Is ignorance bliss? Absolutely not. We need to know. And Jesus cares to tell us. He knows what Christians do in the midst of all of this. We've seen it play out. We get really discouraged, don't we? I can't look at children getting shot up in a classroom and not become intensely discouraged. I can't. And that's why Jesus is addressing this. I'm moved by this because the heart of this whole address, which I think it's overlooked, is something he says in verse 6. And I don't know if you've ever considered how radical this statement is, but it's got to be the most radical statement in the whole thing. Do not be troubled. What? Don't be troubled. When I see terrible atrocities in the world, I wonder how Jesus could say that. Don't be alarmed. I have a hard time thinking about that. You know, I have a hard time processing that. Jesus just said, don't be troubled by any of this. In the heart of this, that's what he said. And you think, well, how do we understand that? He just said at the very end, all these things must come to pass. Now you may be standing there saying, well, why must they come to pass? And I don't believe that's yours. History has an end. This is clear. Things are moving to judgment day. That is clear. And Christ doesn't want us to forget why we're here. That is clear. And so in verses 9 through 14, he says, you're going to see other things. You're going to see people be handed over and they're going to be persecuted. This happens all the time in third world countries. And then I believe something peculiar that we need to be very aware of. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That's my real big concern. Because of the sheer increase of wickedness, you're going to see a cooling off of many who claim to believe. Jesus says, he who remains firm to the end will be saved. Why is Jesus doing this today? Jesus is saying these things because he doesn't want any of this to become obstacles to our faith.
Well, we're so grateful that you've taken the time today to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. Do please visit us on our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are, what we believe, and to download all of these messages free of charge to you. Thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. You're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God. We invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.